Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
As we have seen, the prophet Habakkuk lived in a time of great fear, a time of great sin and of corruption in the nation of Judah. A time when there seemed to be more questions than answers. A time perhaps not unlike the time in which we live. And when Habakkuk brought his fears and his concerns to the Lord in prayer, the answer that he received from God only resulted in more questions. The Lord would chasten his people in the nation of Judah in order to bring them back to himself, but he chose to use the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, a wicked, godless nation, in order to accomplish his work. And Habakkuk wondered, how could that be? The Chaldeans were worse than the people in Judah. How could they be used as an instrument of God? And God further revealed to Habakkuk that though the Chaldeans would carry away the people of Judah into captivity, they themselves would be destroyed for their sin and for their wickedness. And so Habakkuk bowed in humble adoration and in worship before the Lord, and he composed a prayer. He composed a psalm to God, a prayer of praise, a prayer that we find in Habakkuk chapter 3, a song that was perhaps sung in the temple, according to, it says, Sigayoth, which is a musical term, a song of victory, a song of triumph, a song to uplift the people, and a song to celebrate the majesty of God. And so in verse 2 of Habakkuk chapter 3, the prophet says, Lord, I have heard the report about you. Shema in Hebrew. I have heard your proclamation that judgment is about to come. And I fear, O Lord, Yareh in Hebrew. I am terrified. Your ways are not our ways. I do not understand these things. But I know that you always do what is right. I know that you always do what is good. So, I trust in you. I know that you must judge sin because you are a holy God. And so I know that you must judge our sin as well. But Lord, revive your work. Hayah in Hebrew. Heal our land. Preserve us. Bring us back to life again so that we might once again glorify your name. Lord, do not delay. Bring it to pass in our time, in our day, in the midst of our years. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the midst of the years, make it known to us. But in your wrath, rogan in Hebrew, in the thunder of your rage, Lord, remember to show mercy towards us. Remember that we are just dust. Show mercy. Raham in Hebrew. Show compassion towards us, for you are a compassionate God. And we remember your deeds of old, how you showed mercy to your sinful and disobedient people, and you rescued them from their bondage in the land of Egypt, and you brought them through the wilderness and into the promised land. We remember these things. For God, we are told in verse 3, comes from the desert oasis of Teman, in the land of Edom, near the Dead Sea, east of Judah. God comes from the east. He comes like the rising of the sun, bringing the dawn of a new day, a day of forgiveness, as he breaks the bonds of the darkness of sin. And the Holy One comes from Mount Paran, west of Eden, in the wilderness, where he performed many miracles for his sinful and disobedient people. And so it is today, Habakkuk says. His splendor, Hod, his glory and his majesty and his beauty cover us. Kasah in Hebrew. They clothe the heavens and the earth so that we might be clothed by him, so that we might take refuge in him. So heaven and earth are full, malah, they overflow with songs of praise to him. His radiance, says in verse 4, nogah in Hebrew, the brightness of his glory. His very presence is like the dawn of the sunlight. He has rays of light flashing from his hand. And though the light of day reveals his glory, it also hides his power, we are told. Sometimes we forget that he is not only light, but he is a consuming fire. And before him, it says in verse 5, goes pestilence, dever in Hebrew, outbreaks of disease. And plague comes after him, refshef in Hebrew, flames of fire, epidemics, and even pandemics. But he does not give us what we deserve. We all deserve an eternity in a lake of fire. But instead, he offers mercy and forgiveness to us in Christ. As it says in verse 6, God sees all that we do. He stood and he surveyed, madav in Hebrew. He measured the people of the earth, and he has found us all to be lacking. We all fall short of the glory of God. He looked And he startled the nations in terror, it says. He shook the earth so that he might wake us up to the truth. And that is why he shakes the earth. He shakes it to wake us up. Yes, it says, the perpetual mountains were shattered. They were shaken to pieces and they crumbled into dust. And the ancient hills collapsed. But in contrast to these things, his ways are everlasting. They stand firm forever. It all points back to him, doesn't it? And those who lived at the time when God parted the waters of the Red Sea heard how he had destroyed the army of the Egyptians. The nations heard of his power. Those, it says in verse 7, in the tents of Cushan, a region in Arabia. And so they were in distress. And they were in fear of God. And those who were behind the tent curtains in the land of Midian, in the northwestern part of the Sinai Peninsula, they too were trembling and shaking with fear. In fear of God when they heard of these things. But think about it. Was it nature that God was judging? Did the Lord rage and burn with anger against the rivers? Habakkuk asks. Was it your anger, O Lord, against the rivers? He says. Or was your wrath against the sea? That, as it were, you rode like a warrior on your horses in your chariots of salvation? Yeshua, in Hebrew. Chariots of deliverance. No, you were riding for deliverance. You were riding for victory over and against the wicked. So it says in verse 9, your bow was made bare, uncovering your arrows of judgment. And the rods of chastisement were made ready against the people because you have sworn a solemn oath to punish the sins of those who have rebelled against you. So you broke open the earth with rivers, and the mountains saw you and they quaked. Hul. In Hebrew, they twisted and they turned in fear. And a downpour of waters flooded the earth and swept up waves from the depths of the sea so that the deep uttered forth its voice. It lifted up on high its waves like hands coming out of the sea. And the sun and the moon also stood still in their places at the majesty and at the power of God. They went away and hid themselves at the light of your arrows of judgment, speeding towards the earth. They fled at the radiance of your gleaming spear, speeding like lightning and destroying your enemies. Even nature knows who is God. More than we do, perhaps. So, it says in verse 12, in indignation and in fury, you marched throughout the earth. In anger, you trampled the nations of the world. You went forth for the salvation, for the deliverance of your people, for the salvation of your anointed ones. God is on the side of those who belong to him. You struck the head of the house of evil, the leader of the land, to lay him open from thigh to neck. You exposed his sin, and you pierced with his own spears the heads of the throngs of warriors. Like a hurricane, they stormed into battle to scatter us. And their exultation and their joy was over those whom they had slaughtered. They were like those who devour those who are oppressed and who are afflicted in secret. But you, O Lord, you fought for us. You trample upon them, on them all. In your power, you trampled the enemy in the Red Sea, like the thundering of many horses in the surge of many waters. I have heard of these things, Habakkuk says, and inside of me, I tremble in fear and in anguish. I was about to collapse as I considered the sound of the screaming and of the moaning of those who were under the judgment of God. My lips quiver. Decay, Rachab, rottenness enters my bones, and in my place, in the place where I stand, I tremble and I shake, because your judgment is not just of old. Your judgment is not just in the past. Your judgment is for today, and it is about to fall upon us. A warning to the people in the nation of Judah, and a warning to us as well. So Habakkuk says in verse 16, how am I to handle this? What am I to do? He says, I must wait quietly and remain calm for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us has come. We will be chastened. We will be judged, but we will be spared. So I wait in hope, and I wait in expectation. For though the fig tree should not blossom, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive trees should fail, and the fields produce no food, though there is famine and hardship and ruin and death, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there are no cattle in the stalls, though everything goes from bad to worse, and even worse than that, still, God is with us. He is in control, and he is still working on our behalf. Nothing can separate us from him. So Habakkuk says in verse 18, I will delight in the Lord. I will trust in him. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation, in the God of my deliverance. For the Lord God, Habakkuk cries out in verse 19, is my unfailing source of strength. And he has made my feet like the feet of a deer or of a gazelle, sure and stable and firm. So as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through dark and difficult places, he lifts me up to the high places, to a place of safety, that I may praise his name. So even in disaster, by faith, I rejoice. I rejoice in God, my Savior. In this letter, Habakkuk started out in the valley of despair and of confusion, a place that many of us start out in. But he ends up on the mountaintop of faith and of hope and of confidence in God. Fearful of not pleasing him, yet fearless. What can man do to us? We belong to the King. We belong to Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.